Good morning, everyone. You are listening to The Leaves of a Victim Nevermore with Stephen Wilson. This show is for people who identify as victims of abuse and or addiction. My name is Stephen Wilson, and I am a drug addict in recovery. I am a survivor of childhood sex abuse. And with the format of the show, if you've been paying attention, I'm going to be doing a therapeutic tool called Letters To. These are just letters to people that I have wronged, or they have wronged me, or something like that. And if you've been paying attention, if you've been listening, I begin the show with a poem from one of my favorites. And I normally associate the poem with the person or the way that I feel at the moment of the show. This show is going to be a letter to Lakeisha, and this is the poem that I associate with her. It is called The Quiet Glades of Eden by Robert Graves. All such proclivities are tabulated by trained pathologists in detail too. The obscener parts of speech compulsively shrouded in classic Latin. But though my pleasure in your feet and hair is ungainsayable, let me protest, dear love. I am no triomagnite and no foot fetishist. If it should please you, for your own best reasons, to take and flog me with a rawhide whip, I might, who knows, surprisingly accept this earnest of infection. Nothing agreed is alien to love, when pure desire has overflowed its box. But why must private sportiveness be viewed through public spectacles? Enough. I will not claim a heart unfluttered by these case histories of ebriety, nevertheless a long cool draught of water or a long swim in the bay serves to restore my wholesome appetite for you and what we do at night together, which is no more than Adam did with Eve in the quiet glades of Eden. That was The Quiet Glades of Eden by Robert Graves. Dear Lakeisha, I have spent many hours talking about you in therapy. And I really thought, and this is my use of words, not theirs, but I really thought that you would be my redemption. When we first met, it was unassuming, and I didn't expect anything. But in time, you took that monolithic human stone and you brought it back to life. You made me feel for the first time in a very long time. And I can tell you now, clean, that I love you. I have started doing some artwork with a series for you. The artwork is more therapy than anything, but these are memories of you and I together, the things that matter the most, to me at least. But it is now time for me to go through the disclosure. There are things that I wanted to tell you. This letter that I am writing, this is what I was going to tell you that December that I came to you. Under the guise of the holidays, which I use as a cover, I wanted to tell you everything. I wanted to tell you about the rape. I wanted to tell you about the drugs. I wanted to tell you everything. I was prepared for the consequences. But the fact is that when I got there, I realized that I was just a coward. When we first got together, I thought that maybe, perhaps, because you made it clear that you didn't trust me, that you would be the one to ask. And if you did ask, I was going to tell you that was the caveat that I had. You would have to ask. I would not volunteer the information. And I know that's weak ass. Physically, I may be strong, but on the inside, I am incredibly weak. Lakeisha, I did cocaine in your bathroom in the morning before you got up. I also did some drug sales in your complex, the building across the way by the waterfall and around the city in which you lived. And the first time that we got together, I was actually coming from the other direction. I had made some drug purchases in Santa Fe and Taos. And I also need to tell you that when you were at work at least once, I did meet up with people that are in the lifestyle. We didn't do anything, but we just went out and had a few drinks, and I think we did smoke a J, but you asked what I did that day, and I didn't tell you. I also need to tell you that it is true that I was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic in 96. The very next year, I was diagnosed as borderline personality disorder because I was told that the first one was a misdiagnosis. And then that misdiagnosis came major depression and then bipolar. The problem was, Lakeisha, I was diagnosed under the DSM-IV, which didn't take into consideration the drug effects of hallucinogenics. Because I was taking acid almost every other day, the flashbacks would have been categorized, according to the APA, as signs of hallucinating, auditory and visual. I know that doesn't mean anything now, but you had asked me about it, and I never told you the truth. But all of those misdiagnoses doesn't take away from the fact that I did lie to you, and I am sorry. The last time that we were physically together, the day before I left, you asked me a question. You said, Wilson, what are we? You asked me if I was ever going to give you another chance, and I couldn't answer because I was already starting to unravel. That's the reason I came down there to you. That's the reason I was going to tell you all of these things, because you had become my best friend, and I needed to unload because I was starting to fall apart. Whatever strength that I had left, it was beginning to wane. The double life. My life is a theater piece. Everything was falling apart. It's important that you understand that, well, leaving without telling you was very difficult. I was at the truck stop and I was getting fuel, and you and I both had noticed that it had started snowing and the weather was getting bad. And when I was pumping up for fuel, there were a couple of people talking about going back to the hotel. And then when I got inside, there was a truck driver that was talking about the road conditions, and he was actually coming from the direction that I was heading, and he told me, he said, "Don't even bother." This guy had over 12 years of road experience, he said, and he said that it was just horrible. But the thing is that I was afraid. I was afraid to tell you, and I was afraid to go back. I really wanted to see you. More than anything, I wanted to lay on top of you and put my head on your chest and feel you breathe. Lakeisha, I've never known that kind of intimacy with anyone. The birthday week that you gave me was the greatest thing ever. But, I mean, the sexual things were wonderful, but it was the small things that you did. And it's important that you understand that, because when I left the gas station, I was about maybe 10, 15 minutes on the road, and a truck driver fishtailed right in front of me. I quickly downshifted and took my foot off the accelerator. He was so close, I could have actually touched his small circular brake light. I saw the hinge of his door. So many people in my life had gone and died in a car accident. And as a suicide, I didn't think about the idea that it would have been identified as an accident. The weather was bad. The truck driver did what he could. But the fact is that I had been trained at the Stuart Wilson School of Driver's Education. My father taught me to drive in such weather, and I had to, in order for him to allow me to get my driver's license in Woodstock. I know it sounds a trifle, but I'm telling you all of these things because on the way home, I purposely was driving faster than I should have. Because I did want to crash. When I got back home, things just started to go from bad to worse. I went to play parties, I went to masquerades, I went to orgies. My drug use increased. And then I know that you offered to help, but I never should have brought you into the shitstorm. I remember the 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning texting and calling. I even called you. I think I texted you or something from somebody's bathtub, and I was all fucked up partying with people half my age, and I never should have done those things to you. I know that you said that you cried and that you were having a panic attack, and all I can say is that I'm sorry. But the thing is, Lakeisha, is that I was reaching out to you and I really needed you. And I know that it felt like you were starting to back off. And that hurt. But maybe you're not built that way. Maybe you can't handle that kind of stuff. But I'm supposed to deal in honesty and feelings, and that's how I felt. nobody has let me down more than you. Because for the first time ever, I was honest about my feelings. In December, you asked me, "What are we, Wilson?" Although it took me a few months, I told you the truth. I told you that I loved you. I told you that I wanted a life with you, and you rejected me. You gave me a very thorough list of what things you wanted to do in this life. And those things, although maybe I may have helped in some way, there were a lot of things that you needed to do because you were a late bloomer. The lifestyle that we lived, the lifestyle that you have chosen, it is not theory. It is about the application. And I really wish that I could have been a part of it, but I couldn't. When I went into St. Mary's and I started the course of detox, going through the therapy, dealing with the rape and sex abuse and all of those things, when the mental health team did their assessment of the people in my life, there were many people they said that I needed to remove from my life. Because it is true that a mental health professional did call me an abomination. But the lead psychiatrist said that I was a toxic personality, not just addictive. And the thing is that I agree. I know I caused you harm. And maybe for your sake, it would have been better if we had never met. But I want you to know that I have no regrets about the way things were in the beginning. I really wish that I had been stronger and told you these things when I should have. But those few months that we had together, I wouldn't trade them for anything. And I've tried to be clear, and I've tried to be honest, because I want you to understand, I want you to know that you are so amazing. I have no idea what you're doing or what's going on in your life, but I know that whatever you've been able to accomplish, you've done so without me, and that does make me sad. Because I have come to the conclusion that life without you, Lakeisha, doesn't seem possible. You know my plan was not a cry for help. And it approaches my shore as a New England fog. And it will not dissipate with the sun. I am sorry about the deception. And I really wish that things were different. I miss you so much. Not just the intimacy, but having a best friend. Right or wrong, the heart goes where it belongs. And my heart belongs to you. Sincerely, Stephen. I know this show seems a bit depressing, and I can't imagine anybody that's listening, they think that I'm a very good person, but I knew that I had something special in Lakeisha. I really wish you people had a chance to know her, because she has all these ideas. She used to put them out on little note cards, and she was infatuated with Anne of Green Gables. And I remember when we first met, she was a dauber and creature. And then she was Eve. And she has a big heart. And there's not enough of that in the world. Well, that's all I got. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that life, it really does seem impossible without her. And I know that the likelihood of her coming back into my life is pretty much gone. And I'm going to have to deal with that. And I do have a plan. You've been listening to The Leaves of a Victim Nevermore with Stephen Wilson. I am Stephen Wilson. And I say to all of you with a full heart, be a blessing, and may you find serenity.